glass.
Cheers, brother.
Cheers, buddy.
There we go.
Glad to have you.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Working class on DeerCast. Starting off with my buddy Bucky and a cold beer.
Yeah, there we go.
Good to have you back.
Oh, it's awesome beer. I'm pretty excited.
You had last year, and we actually have you in working double time at the studio today. So we're going to do this podcast, a couple videos, and then you're going to be in for a full-length working class bow hunter podcast. But last year, you had top three downloaded episodes of the year.
Crazy.
Which is pretty damn cool.
Right.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So thanks for coming back. Glad to have you.
Yeah.
For people who didn't catch that episode or they found us just through the DeerCast platform, why do you have so much credibility with measuring animals? I know the answer, but I want you to lead into it.
I measure a lot of heads. I measure a lot of anything in North America, all the 29 big game animals. I'm a certified measure for Boone and Crockett, Pope and Young. Other organizations will recognize my certificate through Boone and Crockett, like Wisconsin Buck and Bear Club.
That's a cool club.
And which is, I was a big part of that, and I still am. It's important to have each state to have your own little organization, you know, providing conservation back into the community. I also get recognized by other states, Michigan Big Bucks, Long Hunters as a muzzleloader organization. Number of
there's a bunch out there.
Yeah, but Minnesota also has one too.
Why? Before we get into it, I mean, we're going to talk how to measure a white-tailed deer. But there's a lot of people I think have the attitude that why the heck would I enter my deer? I don't care.
Yeah,
is that a wrong attitude to have?
It's territorial kind of. Unfortunately, like sometimes, like I'll measure stuff and I'll ask someone if they want to enter their stuff in the books, and they won't want to because they're afraid of the people coming in on their area and taking their land away. And like more in Illinois, I think, than back in Wisconsin.
Illinois is pretty tough.
Yeah, because people come in on your lease and stuff like that. But you know what? You already killed it. It's dead.
Yeah, they're hunting a ghost.
Yeah. And either record book, no matter what it is, we will take the county and state, and that's it. And it doesn't.
That's fair.
It's not a pin on a map where someone can look it up and say, "Oh, we shot it on that ridge back there." That
yeah, he shot it in Pike. You know, I'm just using that county, Pike County, Illinois, right here. Yeah,
at the intersection of whatever.
Yeah, you're not giving them coordinates.
Nope. And that scares some people away. You know, fear of losing their hunting spot. Some people don't want the notoriety, which is cool. I mean, I don't. That is cool.
There's a lot of guys like that. I respect it.
Right, I do too. And because
the silent killers,
well, they're after their trophy. They're after a specific age, class, mature male animal. So, I mean, that's pretty cool, you know, and sometimes the privacy is one thing. Monetarily, I mean, a lot of times, like when I get someone in my shop is where I measure all my stuff. And if they come into my shop, most of the times, almost 99% of the time, they'll enter it in the books because I have to be, for lack of better words, a salesman for the organizations. Because
you're a rep for all these.
And I'm volunteering my time. I make no money in this. I volunteer all my time to this sort of thing.
It's a big passion project.
Yeah.
And I've said this a bunch. If you listen, I'm an official measurer as well. I don't measure how I used to, but like you're my call guy. You know,
it takes time. It does. I mean,
you got to do it a lot.
It's a big resource, you know. And so, since I've been involved so much, you know, through the state of Wisconsin, and I was recognized to be able to be invited up to Boone and Crockett to be certified up there. But it wasn't like they pursued me. I was the one saying, "Hey, I really want to be a Boone and Crockett measurer."
Yeah.
So as that's gone on, and I've entered animals, and I show a passion for what I do. So.
Of course,
I was just recently invited up to the 31st Big Game Awards panel measure. So there was only a certain number of us from throughout North America.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah,
it's a pretty honorable thing to get invited to.
Very humbling.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah,
and like, probably a ton of fun up there too.
Oh,
but I was getting pictures from you. You're like a kid in a candy store.
Oh, it was so great.
Because it's all just like super giants that you're messing with.
Top five of every category.
Is it for that year?
That 3-year recording period.
Yeah.
So it's like everything and the biggest things in North America for the last 3 years.
That's pretty cool, man.
They're just laying on the floor.
Like, you're just up, you get to play with them all.
Yeah. Like, I'm just walking around to take a video. I'm like, oh, I have to take video so I remember this always, you know, like.
That's pretty dang cool.
That's pretty honored.
We'll get into that in detail on the regular working class bow hunter series. We're here to get a job done on this episode for DeerCast, which I think is a great, it's good to know for any whitetail hunter.
Yeah.
Because you see, maybe it's not important to you. In that case, just enjoy the podcast. You don't really need to worry about anything else. Mm. But if you don't know how to measure a whitetail buck, this is the episode for you. We're going to talk about how to measure a whitetail deer.
Yeah.
And do you do a lot of teaching on how to measure deer?
A lot. I do quite a bit. Like, I try to help other, when we have organized scoring events, like through the state of Wisconsin, mm-hmm. like we'll be at the Deer Fest or whatever that was down in Wisconsin Dells.
Mm-hmm.
So like you'll get other measures that haven't measured a lot. And like I used to do, and I used to watch these guys and ask questions and help them. And like, I help these younger guys and the other guys above my generation help me.
For sure. So,
excuse me. So it's good to teach people how to do it. I do a lot of explaining how to do it. I go to local high schools and, I'll teach like FFA classes and stuff. How to
measure. That's cool.
That's fun.
Well, let's break it down, man. Someone kills a buck. This is the buck they kill.
Yeah. So typically what happens, someone will contact me that they have shot what they consider to be a trophy,
mm-hmm.
which is, in my eyes, that's any deer.
Yeah.
Even meets minimum or below minimum or above minimum. You know what? Every deer's a trophy or every animal's a trophy to the hunter. And it doesn't really matter to me, I mean, what it is. But I score little bucks mm-hmm. for kids, and that's the most fun. I have a little certificate I've made up that I print on it. Hey, here's your trophy.
That's cool,
and
man.
I get a picture with them shaking their hand. I mean, that's pretty cool.
So that is cool.
And no matter how big that deer is, I mean, that's a trophy forever. I mean, you're my deer first buck, right? I mean,
good on you for doing that. That's cool, man.
It is. It's important. It's important.
It is important. Keeps them into it. Keeps them excited.
Keep that fire lit.
And they're not leaving, my deer didn't make the book.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't want anyone to get.
Yeah. Right.
Ruined young at a younger age.
That's
we need everyone we can. So
but some kid
that's
might
cool.
shoot his first deer might be 150 inch buck.
Yeah, we don't really like that kid.
I know. Well, that happens. I measured those deer and you know, and they don't, but some of them that a younger age class when they're super young,
yeah.
If they're 7 or 8 years old, they don't know what they shot.
No.
For the most part. I mean, my kids are, I won't let them do that until they're older.
Yeah.
So, but hey, whatever.
That's been a frequent, not really a debate, but conversation on the show lately.
Yeah.
Most of us having kids, except for Doug, that we know of.
Yes.
He could have a kid out there. We don't know for Maybe. Sure. But that's another debate for another podcast.
Right, right.
We'll save that for the other one.
Right.
So, say someone shoots this deer.
Yep.
And you were just, I mean, I'll let you just do your thing. I'm trying to lead you into it when I don't need to.
So someone will contact me, hey, I shot a deer. And you can have a green scored, which means that it is, it's less than 60 days. It has to be dry for 60 days before I can measure it officially.
Mm-hmm.
After 60 days, when all of the brain matter and all the flesh and everything's removed, like this deer here, okay, then I can measure it officially.
Mm-hmm.
I will typically green score stuff for people that, well, it's usually local guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because it might be something big and they want to know what it is. It might be
They're going to come back and officially.
Well, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
Like I usually, if I green score something for someone, I ask them that they would come back after 60 days and enter it in the books if it meets minimum entry. And at the point of like the green score, then I'll ask them to pay the entry fee up front.
That's fair.
And I hold their check until they come back. And then that way it assures me that I'm not wasting my time and
yeah.
you know, I'm taking time out away from my family and my wife and everything. And,
yeah.
Then
for know, as many calls as you probably get, man, you got to do that stuff.
It's important. I mean,
and that's fair.
Yeah. I don't want, you know, sometimes people take advantage of it.
I've done that. I've measured a lot of deer and then guys are like, I'm not going to enter it.
No yeah. More. Yeah. Well, just, right, well, they won't come around again.
Yeah.
So they'll contact me after 60 days or before and we'll schedule something and that'll be, you know, a couple times a week.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll bring the deer over and I'll have them go through some paperwork with me. Basically it's what county you killed it in, the date you killed it. Ask about like the 60 day drying period when that started to make sure that it's correct
mm-hmm.
because that math sometimes gets wrong.
Yeah.
So it's like on a bear skull, it's when it comes out of beetles,
oh.
when it's all the way out.
When it's dry, pretty much.
Yes. All brain matter. So So basically, like this deer here, just a clean little 10 pointer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a deadhead. So I will measure it. I'll measure for the trophy owner most of the time with them there. And then that way I can teach them how I'm doing it.
Gotcha. Or
why I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So that they don't just get a copy of a score sheet. Maybe if they enter in Pope and Young, they don't just get a copy later and they wonder, well,
how was it done?
Yeah. They have no idea. I mean, so it's good to train the people and to explain why it is.
Yeah. Do you need me to grab that shed too? Or are we going to get that in a minute?
Yeah, we'll get it in a minute.
Okay. No big deal.
Okay. So, I usually just use a score sheet as a worksheet. Okay. So first thing I'm going to need to know is how many points are on the right side and the left side. Okay. This one, he's just a small typical. So he's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. 5 and 5. Inside spread is taken over the top of the main beams and the pedicles. So I can move over here. I'll wipe it out. I'm gonna take his inside spread like this. And this is just old carpenter's tape.
Mm-hmm.
Carpenters really get it. Home Depot. They're getting harder to find, they're getting expensive. So you just scratch inside the main beams. And that's what you get there. So I had 13, 14, 15, and 2/8.
Okay.
All antlered animals are measured in eighths.
Mm-hmm.
All skulls and everything like that. Heads are measured in 16ths.
A lot of people don't know that. I find like a lot of people,
yep,
they just don't. They don't get it. So,
like if you hear us, like say, we'll say it's 14 4/8. Like, well, it's 14 1/2. Well, we just calculate an eighth because it's in the math later. You have to keep everything the same.
Yeah.
The denominator.
You know what's funny? Like at work, I measure everything in eighths just because I'm used to it.
Right, right.
And everyone's like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm like, hey, never mind.
So that's all right. So inside spread, that goes into the final score because we're giving him credit for what he grew.
Mm-hmm.
We also record the outside spread, which does not go into the final score.
It's like supplemental information.
And the only time it's really, really odd that it would ever get used would be like an insurance claim where the deer got stolen or something like that. Mm-hmm. You can prove it in court that that's the same deer.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Like outside spread and tip to tip. Those are the only two things that that get recorded but don't get used.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's crazy. So, all right. So I usually start with the right side. So let's see here. I can do this. Actually, I'll do left side. Be a little bit easier. Which camera you want me to use?
Either. They're both kind of getting us here.
So let me look through.
That's a challenge of not having a camera guy. Interns, possibly you.
Right. So you have to determine the length of the main beam, okay? And that might be, it's usually from the bottom of the pedicle on the side, and then you're going to follow the outside of the main beam all the way out to the tip of the main beam out here. So you can kind of see on that black line that I made. This is my score deer I made. My little project since I've been hurt.
I like it, man. That's a good idea.
Yeah, it works cool. So that's how you determine the main beam. But it's easy if you look across it. You can see that like that. If you look across it, you can see where that main beam should start.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times if there's a burr or maybe a beauty point or something down there, you'll know where to start with your cable.
A beauty point. Yeah, and you measure deer with cable on an alligator clip, not...
Yes.
It's something more rigid but still flexible.
Yeah, there's a cable. You can buy these from any of the organizations like Wisconsin Buck and Bear Club and Crockett. Basically, it's a little bit bigger than a bicycle cable, a brake cable, but there's a lead end on it, which is super handy. So I take that and I'll put that on the main beam here and I'll hook it on like this. And then I'll just pinch that down as tight as I can. So I'm not measuring over open air.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll follow the outside of that main beam, like where that black line is.
Mm-hmm.
My cable. So I'm going to speed this up a little bit. So I get it to the end of the main beam and I'll clip it with the little alligator clip. And then I'll take it and I'll put it back on that carpenter's tape.
Yeah, I can hold this guy better. Up. I can help you instead of sitting here with my hand in my pocket.
You're good. You're the boss, man. Okay, so I would measure that, and let's say it's 21 inches.
Okay.
So I record that, okay? I measure his opposite side, And that's also 21 inches for just for quick math.
Okay.
Okay. So
it's a very symmetrical buck we have here.
He just is. A lot of them are actually.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah.
You know, as big as a buck might get, a lot of times they're super like they're right on.
Pretty impressive.
I mean, crazy. Like you get a 23 pointer and they're both the same.
Right.
You know, I mean, come on. But so, okay. We have our length of main beam. All right. So we record that.
Okay.
We're going to start on, let's say, the right side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So starting at the bottom, here's G1.
Okay.
It's a first point. Yep.
Why G? Why is it G1? Why is it G2?
Oh, I don't know that.
I know it.
What is it?
Oh, come on.
Tell me.
It's just the way it lays out on the score sheet.
Oh, I know. It just, well, because of the box.
Yeah.
I guess
it's the alphabet.
Never even thought about it.
Yeah.
H1. All right. I get it.
Right? Am I right? I'm right, aren't I?
E. Right. I got it. You're right. That's cool.
Man, I got Bucky on one.
You got me. It's over. End of podcast.
End it.
So G1, okay? It's a first point that comes off the top of the main beam after the burr. If there's a point that's down here on a more mature buck,
mm-hmm.
there might be points down here, which I call burr points or beauty points. If they're connected to the burr anywhere around here, that's just a supplemental point.
It's so extra
inches. Yeah, it's just up.
Abnormal point.
Yeah. Okay, so G1, G2, G3, G4, and you don't count the end because we already counted it. Go.
In your main beam measurement.
In your main beam measurement.
Okay.
It's already a point. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay?
Okay.
So, and I'll come back to this. This is good. It's a great
example. That is a good one.
It's a great example.
It's cute.
Okay, so.
I'm participating like I'm in class.
I know. I love it. We're going to give extra credit later.
Okay, good. Get another beer after the podcast.
G1, G2, G3, G4. Already counted G5. So his main beam is the last point. So as if there's more points, you just keep going down the row. Okay, this point isn't here. It just doesn't exist. Okay, G2, G3, that's it. The last of it would be the
beam.
Last tying.
Yep.
Okay, so, but he happens to be a 10-pointer, okay?
Want me to grab that for you in this case?
We'll get,
okay.
Actually, I need that. All right, so the last measurement that you get on each side is going to be the circumferences, which is H. Why is that H, Kurt?
The way it falls on the score. That's
why it falls in the Excel sheet. Okay, so that's taken, and the smallest location between the burr and G1. H2 is taken, that smallest location between G1 and G2.
A lot of people mess H4. Up the smallest location.
Yes. And it has to be the smallest. So, and it's taken with a ring end tape, like this guy here. And all it does is, it doesn't start until like a couple inches up that the numbers start. So you put that on around the beam, and you just pull it tight.
Okay.
It's like this is like 3 1/8, something like that. And that's why that tape always ends up like that.
Mm-hmm.
So then you measure around. So those four circumferences. Okay, H1, H2, H3, H4. Kurt in the back, like Kurt in the front. You always sat in the front, didn't you?
What if it? Yeah, I'm in the middle somewhere. I always sat in the back in high school, and I never paid attention. I slept. Four measurements. What if it's a spike?
Well, you just keep it would be between the tip and the base.
There's four in there.
There's one. You just take one and take
times four. On a spike.
I believe it's
I thought every deer, maybe I'm wrong. I'm asking just for a conversation. Because if it's a 6-pointer, there's still four circumferences.
Oh, hand me that chat and I'll show you. Because if this was a 6-pointer and you didn't have this guy,
mm-hmm.
so it'd be H1, H2, H3, H4.
Yeah. Okay.
So it would be halfway between. So like we'll just say this is a 8-pointer. Okay. He has a little guy here and I can't remember if we thought it made it or not, because by definition to be a point it has to be longer than it is wide, and I don't know if this one is definitely not an inch long, but it has to be longer than it is wide, which is
so the whole hook a ring on it's a misconception.
Well, kinda. I mean,
you still count it. That's Southern rules.
Kinda, yeah.
Right.
Like I use this cheater tool, and it has to be wider. It's a bushing. It's just a 1-inch bushing, 1-inch.
It's a good idea.
It works awesome because it's just a feeler gauge. Obviously, I can't use that for measuring, but
yeah,
it's a good way to judge it when you're going around. And which I learned this spring is super important on moose. If it's point to be longer than it is wide,
mm-hmm.
because they kind of roll up.
Like they get those big tapered out points and stuff.
Yeah. So let's just say this is 8-pointer, which this tine doesn't count, which it does. Does not. Okay. So on this one, we're going to get H1, H2, H3, and then H4 is taken between the tip and where this tine comes down, which is the center of his tine is going to be about here. So half of this, let's say it's 10 inches.
Mm-hmm.
So at 5 inches, you're going to mark it and take the circumference there.
And that's your H4.
Yep. And if it was just a 6-pointer and this tine wasn't here, like make believe it wasn't there,
mm-hmm.
like that. Okay, so H1, H2, H3, H4.
Oh, it's in the same spot.
Same spot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the half of the distance from here to the bottom of this tine, the center of this tine where it comes down
mm-hmm.
into the main beam, from here to here, the center of that, it's taken twice.
Gotcha. I did not know that. I never really measure 6-pointers, though.
Yeah, well, sometimes you have to.
Sometimes you have to. Good to know.
Yeah, but that's the difference between a 10 and an 8. But there's also a lot of people get things, they'll get more inches or less inches, depending on how it's measured. And the thing is, have your deer or any of your animals, have them officially measured so that you know exactly what they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have a tailgate measure and they measure it, and God bless them because everybody loves to measure, and
yeah.
there's all these tools out there to do this stuff, right?
Yeah.
If you're not doing it, if someone's doing it that isn't an official measure, they could either be underscoring that deer or overscoring that
yeah.
deer. And the hunter...
Chandler always underscores his deer.
Really?
By like 5 inches.
Wow.
Just to be humble. Yeah, I think he just is like hard on him.
He's a humble guy.
Yeah. When I measure him, I'm like, what are you doing?
He's a killer though.
Like measure these things, man.
Yeah.
Give him the credit that's due, you know. Yeah.
But a lot of times some of these deer will get, you know, they get underscored, overscored. And what I see is that, like let's say on this 8-pointer, the tine length is taken coming down. Tip of the tine down the top of the main beam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I use a cable. You have to use a cable for that to mark it. I should be using the score deer for that. This guy down.
It's already on there. Here, I'll grab this guy and get him out of the way to avoid confusion.
All right, so taking my circumferences, sometimes I hear people, we thought he was a lot bigger because they measure from the tip of the tine to the bottom of the beam.
That's super common.
And that happens quite a bit, right? Well, it just turned that 140-inch deer into a 160-inch deer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then the hunter's disappointed when
right.
it's not done correctly. Or it'll be taken, the circumferences will be taken
biggest
at
spot.
The largest spot. Yeah. Or let's say if it's a 12-pointer or something like that, they'll just keep going. They'll get H5, H6.
You know, right.
While you're getting like 10 inches.
It adds up at the end of the, sure of the sheet.
Right. Just math. But, okay, so.
Very cool.
So you measure... So we got the main beam, which is over here.
Yep.
We have the main beam, length of the tines.
Okay.
And circumferences and inside spread.
Inside spread, that's it.
Yeah. So here's a good one on this deer, which I don't know if we built.
So that would be your gross score.
That
totaled together is your gross.
On this frame.
On this frame.
Yes.
Yeah, now,
that would be your gross score.
That's a typical 10-pointer.
Yeah.
We're at your gross frame.
So what is the net score?
That's where I'm getting at. Yep.
Okay. So if you look across this deer, he's really, really symmetrical.
You're good.
Sorry, go. Nope. He's really symmetrical and he looks nice. The only differences he's going to have, and I don't have a score sheet here, but this tine is a little bit longer than this tine.
Mm-hmm.
This tine is a little bit shorter than this tine. And these two tines, this one's longer than this one. So the scoring system that was... developed by the Boone and Crockett Club, like Teddy Roosevelt, Burkernell.
Mm-hmm.
They awarded the animals by symmetry. And the more perfect the deer can be, the better of a quality of a trophy that it's been produced in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Your area produced this symmetrically superior deer to the next year.
Yep.
By net. As years have gone by, which is cool by all these clubs, they've also started recording the gross score, which mm-hmm. I think is important. the show what the deer grew.
I think it's important.
I think it's really good. Mm-hmm. I love it. So these little differences of, let's say it's a half inch, half inch, half inch. Okay. So that inch and a half is taken off of the gross score. Mm-hmm. And that's what gives you your net score at the end.
Okay. Gross and net. That's why a lot of people say nets are for fish. I get it.
Yeah.
They're both fun. It's where it gets super fun for me is in a giant typical when it nets really high. Like that's very impressive. It's hard to get a deer that nets over like 170 is insane. Mm-hmm. So,
and when people throw around the, well, it's a 200 inch buck. It takes a lot to make a 200 inch buck.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, I've only had a couple in my hands ever.
Net. Yeah.
I mean, well, that's a giant buck.
I would say 9.9 people are grossing out their scores when they say 200 inch deer.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, well, I'm just saying the people that say they saw a 200
inch deer. Oh, I...
Come on.
Right. Very, very hard to do. It takes
a lot to be a 200 inch buck.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is cool. I mean, you know, hey, whatever. And it makes you chase that deer more. That's cool.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So now let's say this. I'm going to beat you to it. Let's say this deer is going to.
We're getting complicated now.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So let's say this deer, he grew this extra tine here. Okay. We're going to put it right there.
Okay.
This has been my summer project so far.
I like
it. All right, so I cut this antler off and I added it to this deer. It's kind of cool. So
it's crafty.
It's kind of crafty. That's what I do.
Bucky's playing arts and crafts.
Arts and crafts, right? So that tine is a one. It's not a symmetrical tine, and it also doesn't touch the inside of the main beam. So it's not. It's a non-symmetry point, mm-hmm. which makes it kind of abnormal. Okay.
Yep.
So G2, G3, G4.
It's screwing up the typical symmetry of the buck.
He's out of line. Okay. And then over here, he grew this guy.
Look at that.
So he has these two things going on. Okay.
That's fun.
So let's just say they were longer. Okay. And it was a Pope and Young buck. This is easy. Mm-hmm. So if it was a Pope and Young buck that was shot with a vertical bow, it would have to be to enter this into Pope and Young, it would have to be at least 15 inches of abnormal to qualify, if it had enough inches to qualify into non-typical.
Okay.
So on a typical, unfortunately, these would be deducted. They would be added in for your gross score. Okay. So let's say he's 140 inches. Mm-hmm. Okay. So these would be added in, all these inches of these two forks, or this fork over here and this fork over here. That would get added into the gross score.
To the gross, yeah.
And if he qualified, those inches were enough to be over 50. The minimum for non-typical, which would be 155.
Yeah.
Then and 15 inches of abnormals, then he would be able to be entered into Pope and Young that way.
In the non-typical category versus 125 in the typical category
for Pope and Young. Yeah. So if he was, let's say he was 140, and he had 10 inches of this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's 130 inch deer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But if he had, so we can throw numbers around all you want, but
yeah.
So I guess that kind of, does that help?
Explain?
I think so.
I think it does.
So they get added in.
What, as abnormal. I guess, what's up with the 15 minimum?
It was they had to come up with a number to make it,
so there's like a line, right? And I guess
a line in the sand, kind of where it had to be.
Is it truly a non-typical, or is it more of a typical buck with some abnormal points?
Whatever gives. And a lot of times I'll tell you, like when you're in class or getting certified, whatever it is, the highest above minimum, give the deer the most credit he can for what he grew.
Yeah, don't screw him over.
Yes, and that's the intent.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I think to me it does.
Yeah.
I'm a little more familiar, you know, like just thinking, but if someone had no idea anything about the measuring system, most deer hunters have an idea.
Yeah.
But no, I think that makes sense. That's a great, that's a good tool, man, to show that off.
It'll help the kids in school for sure, because their eyes glaze over and they don't get it. But once you can take it off, you're like, okay, that's abnormal. Now you measure that.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, I get it.
Well, you can almost look at it too. Like, I guess another way to explain it would be like, okay, pull them off.
Yeah.
Typical buck.
Yeah.
Then if you pulled this off, he's still typical. So if you just throw that one on, probably not going to make.
Probably not going to make non-typical.
As a non-typical.
Yeah.
But then is he.
He's got that big guy there.
Then throw that other dropper off with a split. He could be in the non-typical category.
As long as it's big enough, he'll push him up.
Yeah. Okay. I like that.
Yeah. Works good. I mean.
So 125 minimum for typical net for Pope and Young. 155 non-typical net Pope and Young.
Yes.
Vertical bows.
Yeah. Only vertical.
Only vertical bows for Pope and Young. Now, Boone and Crockett can be any weapon if the animal is big enough, higher minimums.
Yes.
Okay.
And actually, you don't even have to kill it. You can pick it up.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. If you find a deadhead and it's giant, you can enter it into Boone and Crockett records. I'm almost certain that right now the Wisconsin bear, number one black bear in Wisconsin, was hit by a car.
Are you kidding?
The guy found it dead, yeah.
So.
You didn't know that, man?
I thought I did, but I don't. Like, I thought maybe I saw one at like a show that was entered or something. Maybe there was some at the Wisconsin show.
Yeah, there's deadheads. I mean, we get them quite often.
Well, maybe have you measured that one you commented on?
Oh, yeah.
Over here in the corner?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what that does for me. Nothing.
It's cool.
It's kind of
gives credit to the area that produced that whitetail, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I mean, that's one way to look at it. And that's the way I look at it. I mean,
yeah.
Give credit to that. So that ecosystem, that is where that deer was.
Mm-hmm.
It has enough nutrients and everything in that system's working well enough that deer grew that big.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if he only had one rack, what's up with that? I mean, you would be saying something wrong, right?
Right.
So it helps. The thing is like you talked about entering stuff. When people don't want to enter things, I mean, okay, that's fine. If you don't want to, but I think it's important, and the clubs think it's important, is not only for conservation, you know, that money goes towards conservation, even though it might be a small part of like Boone and Crockett, the awards and the trophy measurement stuff, part of Boone and Crockett, you know, that's only 10% of the whole club.
Really?
It's only that much. It's huge.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's amazing. So, but when you enter that stuff and you go through the work of filling out the paperwork and entering it and getting a certificate, and you're entered in the record books. Okay. Your deer's entered in the record books.
Yeah.
It's a snapshot in time that's taken by it. So
yeah, dude, I'm thinking of a lot of stuff right now as you're talking. So I'm thinking, can I have my dad who passed away over a year ago, his last buck?
Yes.
Can I enter that buck in Pope and Young?
I'll have to check on Pope and Young, but I believe it can. You can, you can enter it for him.
Because I was there for the recovery and everything.
You can enter it for him. Because you're the owner, he's the hunter. Remember, it has two lines. One is trophy hunter, one is trophy
owner. You're right.
Yeah, you can enter that.
I might have to do that. I've grossed him. I never netted him. I know he'll make it, his last buck.
Oh, yeah, that'll make it.
You know, he grossed, like, I think, 2 years ago when he killed it, right around 160.
Yeah, well, he's big enough. I was looking at him the other day. He's big. He's got a big frame. I mean, he's
26, 27 beams.
Oh, that's giant.
So we'll have to, I might be putting you to work.
That's good. That's what I'm here for.
It'd be kind of neat to do that.
It would be fun. I'd love to measure it too. Be quite honored, actually.
Yeah, we can do that.
So when you enter that stuff and take that snapshot in time, it's the club's chance to grab a scientific data point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, all right, let's just say we're all scientists now.
Yeah. Right?
So, because I collected that animal in this county on this year and this month.
Yeah.
Okay, so that county grew that. Now, if you don't do that, okay, and let's say the Kurt Geyer buck shot in 2022, okay, it's giant.
Yeah.
Maybe.
23, it's going to be a super giant.
Okay, maybe 23. All right, so.
Be optimistic.
That's right. So, all right, that's great. It's 200-inch net. Whitetail.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't enter it.
201.
Okay. If you don't enter in the book, never happened.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, really, generationally, there's only a couple deer in the entire world that are actually going to do that. Jordan buck, Hanson buck, Rumpala.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're going to say that. I mean, there are going to be urban.
Did we talk about that on the last podcast?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Do we need to talk about it again?
I love it. I love
that. Okay, we'll get into that again.
But unless, you know, it might be an urban legend to land on a map forever.
Yeah.
That would actually stick. But unfortunately, we don't live forever.
Yeah.
And it's important to collect that data. And not for us. It's for our kids, their kids, their kids. What happened in 1919? We have no idea.
It's pretty cool, though, to even just be ingrained a little bit into bow hunting history.
Yes.
That's kind of cool.
I mean, really, if you think about it, in the big picture of it, when people come over to my house, it's super easy to sell this because I show them a certificate. You're going to get this certificate. It says your name with your buck.
Mm-hmm.
The buck that you harvested on this day, okay? You're also going to get, like, let's say it's a state of Wisconsin. You're going to get one from Pope and Young. You're going to get one from Wisconsin Buck and Bear Club.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Pope and Young's $40. Okay, state of Wisconsin's 15. Only $15. I think it costs us more than to process that entry than it does.
Oh, I bet it does.
I spent, when I shoot a deer like that, I spend more money on beer than I do on the entry.
Because you're, excuse the vehicles outside, because you're
celebrating.
Yeah, okay.
You're celebrating that deer.
I got you.
You're celebrating. What's the first
thing? Also, you're a really good measure because don't you have tap beer where people can drink beer while you measure their animals?
Because it's kind of weird because when a lot of these guys I don't know,
mm-hmm.
and some guys seek me out, it's kind of weird a little bit.
It's cool,
like,
though.
Like as a
you're like the measuring guy.
Well, but not from across the state. Like they come across the state of Wisconsin to me, and I'm like, no, listen, you have a measure that's a lot closer to you, but I looked you up and I wanted to come to you.
But you're measuring guy, man. That's what I mean.
Yeah, but I also want to get other people, you know, the chance like this year.
For sure. I get that.
The new state record whitetail that was shot. That guy contacted me and he wanted me to score it.
We did a giant tracker with him.
I'm like, no, man. I'm like, nope. I think you should go with Tony Heil.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Tony.
Your guy.
He lives close to you and, you know, and by proximity. And they turned out, they got along great. Mm-hmm. Had fish fry together and then they measured his deer too. Pretty cool.
See, that's cool.
I mean, that's what it's about, right?
Yeah. So. You're the measuring guy, man. I get why people want to go to you.
But it's cool. But they come over to my house and they'll come to my shed. And I always do it in my shed now because it got kind of weird in my house with my kids and everything. It says, I need separation.
That's why we have the studio and it's not my house.
Exactly, right. So when people come over, they'll usually bring a guy and his wife or a guy and his brother or, you know, always two almost.
Yeah.
Always. Because they're probably weird out there.
Maybe. I gotta go to this dude's house.
Might be a killer or something.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, I don't want that.
So. Verdict's right. Still out.
But. Right, right. So, maybe not. So, they come in my house or come in my shed and they'll bring their trophy in. And the best part of being an OM, official measure, I get to hear everybody's story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually like I'm there, you know, with them. Because it's exciting to tell that story, that hunting camp story, that, you know, the feel of, you know, the excitement and the adrenaline and how it started, how it finished, and, you know, the ups and downs that go along the way.
Yeah, yeah.
So I get to hear that story, and then they'll usually tell me the story, and then I'll get my little measuring box out.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh, there's tap beer over there if you guys want. You help yourself.
Yeah.
And then those two guys will always go over to the tap, and they'll get a beer, and then they'll just look at it like, I have all my certificates of, like, official measure of blah, 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 and all these, you know, certificates.
That's cool. Yeah.
And they'll look at that stuff, and it gives me just a couple minutes to myself. Where I can be like, and I just frame up this deer. Like, okay, it's a 10. I'm a knock, knock, knock.
Right. When you had to think.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm, so then when
crunching numbers in your head.
Kind of like, yeah. I'll get to the measurements and I write down everything. And then they sit down at my table with me and they're like, what'd you come up with? I'm like, hang on, I have to do the math. And I always do the math out loud.
Mm.
So I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, 19 5/8. And I say it out loud. And I say it out loud enough so that they don't talk.
Yeah.
Because if they start talking when I'm adding numbers.
That's a pro move.
You can't let that happen.
It's a pro move because so, I have done math 3 or 4 times over because people. But also I'm like, can't you see me like typing? On, like I'm doing the calculator thing. Yeah, like, yeah. Hey man, shut your hole for a minute. Like
yeah.
Trying to get you your score.
I could see that, yeah.
I don't know. But you're doing it smarter than I do.
Well, it's. And when the nice thing, like some of these organizations though, Boone and Crockett, they allow us to do everything online.
Mm-hmm.
And I was part of the beta group for that. And there was only a couple of us.
Is that like the digital score sheet you're saying?
Yeah, we actually, the whole thing's online. You just put everything, you plug everything online. You upload the photo into the score sheet.
Oh, shit.
You do everything
online. Very cool.
It's a steep learning curve for a lot of guys because it's new technology. I mean, it's a little.
It's pretty cool though.
It's hard. I mean,
what I like the So I think we could do like digital score sheets for Pope and Young. Yeah. It didn't change. They gave you the option.
Yeah.
Type it out and print it or whatever.
Yeah.
But I always like the hand kind of messy. Yeah. There's like a nostalgia to it.
Yeah. I used to review score sheets. I used to get them in and I'd have to go like through them and stuff. Oh, I know what it was. When we made a magazine for the state of Wisconsin. We had a magazine of all the current entries for the last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I get to see all these score sheets. We pick out some that were so... We'd always pick out some that were like handwritten.
Yeah.
And there's a couple measures that we have in Wisconsin. Like, I know what it's their score sheet just by their handwriting.
Yeah, that's cool.
Or like some older, some older guys, you can see it's kind of shaky. And
writing with a feather.
Kind of. I mean, it's cool, but they're also my mentors. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, but.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Well, I think a good lesson in how to measure a whitetail deer. It sounds like we're going to film. I don't know if we need to overlay, but maybe we'll just throw it at the end anyway. We're going to film like a simple, this is how to measure a whitetail deer. And maybe we'll throw it at the end of this podcast. If not, check our YouTube. It'll be up there. You'll find it one way or another if you're here in DeerCast or follow Working Class Bowhunter in any way. But yeah, man, if someone in their area is like, hey, I need to get a deer measured, how the heck do they find a measure near them?
So there's so many resources nowadays where you can find a measure either through Boone and Crockett. Website, just search Boone and Crockett. You can then break into states, then counties, then cities.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll show you the closest measure, the closest official measure to you,
mm-hmm.
with their phone number, email address, stuff like that.
Easy
State enough. Of Wisconsin, we also do that. Pope and Young also does that.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, it's easier than you think once you get into it, but you just got to know Boone and Crockett, Pope and Young.
Yeah. And when there's a lot of guys that, younger guys, like I see some guys that, like, they know what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
Apply to score to be an official measure for that.
It's a really fun course. I've done it.
It's great.
If school was like that, I'd be a doctor.
Exactly. Because it's interesting. You get to learn from some guys that have been all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very cool. Well, awesome, man. Let's get to doing a video on how to measure whitetails. We'll do like some up close stuff and call it good.
Yeah, that's cool.
Anything you want to add? Where can people find you directly if they want?
I am all over Facebook, Instagram, but Facebook is Bucky Allenfelt. Instagram is Bucky Allenfelt, and TikTok is Bucky Allenfelt.
Guy's got a TikTok. It's impressive.
I love it.
TikTok's actually kind of fun, isn't it?
Well, it's super easy to edit.
Can you post antlers on it? Have you?
Yeah, I do.
And you haven't been pinged?
Nope.
Dude, they get us instantly.
Well, you must be on their list.
I think we're on their list because we posted there were sheds or a euro in the background. We got like a 2-month ban.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I put stuff on there before measuring, I think it was an elk.
Well, dang.
I think it was.
They like you.
So, yeah.
You're a little more likable than
us. Well, not for long.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, right. Now after this.
Yeah, right.
Just out of you out. Yeah, because TikTok HQ is listening to DeerCast podcast.
No, I mean, it's fun to like, I post usually when someone brings their trophy over to have it measured.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's cool as long as I'm with the trophy owner.
Yeah, for sure.
I've set up like a little black backdrop and they stand there and
maybe that's why picture. It's classier.
Well, it shows a gross and a net and they're standing there and they're, it's a lot of times it's a husband and wife. I mean,
yeah, that's cool.
It's super fun. Super fun.
Well, cool, man. We got more stuff to do. We're putting you to work tonight.
Hell yeah. Let's do it.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone, watching, listening. Hope this is more of a watchable podcast, but you know what to do. Go shoot a giant. We love you guys.